Nivasato yadravinatma buddhis.
Nivasato yadravinatma buddhis.
Tatastato dravati bho atavyam. Kvachchit shaivat yotitapam shudhumra. Nishona janati rajasva laksha.
Nivasa,
residential place.
Toya,
water.
Dravina,
wealth.
Atma buddhi,
who considers these material things?
The Atma or self.
Tata,
here and there.
Dhavati,
He runs.
Boho,
O king.
Atavyam,
on that forest path of material existence.
Kvachit,
cha,
and sometimes.
Vatya,
by the whirlwind.
Uttita,
raised.
Pamshu,
by dust.
Dumra,
appear
smoke-colored.
Dishaha,
the directions.
Na,
not.
Janati,
knows.
Rajavala Aksha,
whose eyes are covered by the
dust
of the wind,
or who is captivated by his wife
during her menstrual period.
Translation.
My dear king,
the merchant
on the forest path of the
material world,
his intelligence
victimized
by home, wealth,
relatives, and
so forth,
runs
from one place to another
in search of
success.
Sometimes
his eyes are covered
by the dust of a
whirlwind.
That is to say,
In his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus, his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport. It is said that household attraction resides in the wife, because sex is the center of household life. Yan mai tunari grihameri sukam hitu cham. A materialistic person, making his wife the center of attraction, works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of household life engage in sex only once a month, at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra, because the Jyoti, or effulgence, in the material world comes from the different stars and planets. The science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of the illuminaries. By the calculation of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, sun, and moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus, he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust, the whirlwind of material existence, does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. So here we see the Jarabharat's now discussing the entanglement of this living entity in the material world. So first we're starting with just the overall. He's absorbed in the modes of nature. He thinks that there's an opportunity to be happy in this world. He actually has this idea. This is what he feels can happen. So because of that, then we have these next stages. He tries to set up a very comfortable situation in the material world, and he tries to set up an occupation by which he can gain the facilities to enjoy. So having set all this up, then the living entity becomes distracted by the immediate things that catches attention. Because there's the general principle before that it's based on. If there's not a general concept that I can enjoy, you can't be looking for specifics. Does that make sense? The two go together. You can't have one without the other. Is that if I think, yes, I can do this, then you look for opportunities. If you think, I can't do this, I'm so useless, even opportunities come, you won't take them. So here, being committed to the material consciousness, then when the opportunities come up, he sees them, he notes them. Right? So then, here then, he's absorbed in all these things, so the specifics given here, then he sees the wife becoming more and more beautiful as she comes to the point where one can have intimate relationships. Because the menstrual period will indicate that now time is coming. So for him, this is an opportunity. Seeing this opportunity, he becomes more and more absorbed, right? More and more bewildered. So this is the same principle applies to anything else. You're looking for money, any opportunity for it. You know, whatever it is, food, you hear the sounds in the kitchen, or you get the smells, and anything, it's the same principle, is that one is looking for the opportunities. This is what keeps one in the material world. It's that simple. And as Prabhupada mentioned in a previous purport, it doesn't matter how much you complain to know it's not like this, or I don't want it to be like this, it's just the way it is. So that's the principle, is that the living entity has a concept, I can be happy here. And because of that, he remains here. If he understands, I cannot be happy here, then if you can't be happy here, then what's the natural result? I don't look for opportunities to enjoy here. That's just so. One's thinking how to control the senses, how to direct it towards Krishna. You know, all the senses are dragging me, or these opportunities are coming up and I'm getting distracted. But that's because we think there's something to gain. If we understand there's nothing to gain, we don't look. Right? We just don't look. If we're walking by, let's say we're in Calcutta, we're walking down the street, and, you know, there's this large pile of garbage, right? You know, like half the size of this room, right? Do we look? We go, ooh, hey, check this out. No, we don't. But if you observe a little bit, there are a lot of crows and dogs and everybody else inside there, because they are looking for opportunities. It's the same principle. You don't see it as some place where you can find enjoyment. You don't even bother looking. You don't think, hey, what the heck, maybe there's something there, let's just check it out. No, you just don't do it. You just think, there's nothing here, I'm not going to look. So that's the principle, that's how one gets out of the material world, is there's nothing here. There is nothing to enjoy here. So therefore, one doesn't look. Right? But now, how will we do that? That will be by knowledge. And how will this knowledge be gained? That's through devotional service. And where does that devotional service come? Jarabhard mentioned, it comes from association. So by associating with advanced devotees, then one gets the knowledge and understanding that there is nothing here. It's not that there's some trick, oh, this is an old archaic idea, you know, there's nothing here, there's no, you know, no enjoyment, this and that. The place, it's full of opportunities. Right? No, it's just there is nothing here. That's the point. It's an illusion. That's why the acharyas always give these examples. It's an illusion that there's something here. There's plenty here to work with in Krishna's service. That there's so much. But to think that I'm going to get material sense enjoyment and I, the soul, will actually be happy, that's an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. That's the fun part. We're thinking, no, it is possible. You can get something. But you can't. It's designed that way. Right? How is a casino designed? Is it designed that you can make money? Right? Lots of people could go there, make money, make an occupation out of it, right? No, for who is it the occupation? The guy who owns the casino. It's designed that you'll lose. Even if you're winning, they have ways to make you lose. Right? Why will you do something foolish? Right? If you're intelligent, thoughtful, focused, are you going to do something stupid? No. So if you're not thoughtful and you're being stupid, then you'll make a mistake. So how to create this, right? Then Prabhupada mentions pride. Right? The different activities that create the sinful activities, the background that the acharyas mentioned is pride, attachment to women, right? And I think uncleanliness. So these things, these are the things that come up. From that, if you are attached, then naturally you break the four regulative principles. Okay? Does that make sense? So now what happens? The guy's on a winning streak. What happens? All the fancy girls start showing up. Right? And they start telling you, wow, this is great. Ooh, you're doing it. Ooh, you're on a run. You know, they start telling you all this stuff. So what happens? Pride. And why? Because of attachment to the women. And so, then what happens? Then you'll go beyond. And then, of course, you'll lose. So it's designed like that. That's how the material world's made. It's designed you will lose. It doesn't have, you don't have an alternative. So, the living entity to think, I will, don't do that. One is dirty, and two, you know, I know bad old habits die hard, but we don't need to look at them. Okay? Holding his pencil like this. So the living entity is thinking, I will gain something here, but there's nothing to gain here. So if that's understood, then it's a matter of, okay, if there's nothing to gain here, there must be something to gain somewhere. Why? Because everybody has the ideal that I'm going to gain, I'm going to be happy. Right? With gain, there'll be safety. Right? These principles we're always looking at. How to gain things by controlling, and then by that having gain, that will create my safety. And then, again, applying my control on that, I will get more, and I will increase my safety. Why? Where does this come from? Because the living entity, being Satchidananda, they have this idea, I will be happy. And happiness comes through endeavor. And endeavor comes from based on a proper situation. So when we understand that proper situation is in the spiritual world, that endeavor is devotional service, and that result where we'll be happy is prema, then there's no problem. Then we can put full attention into that and how to do that. So it's just like anything. If you have something on your mind, I want to get this done, even if there's other opportunities for other things, one won't take it. Right? So that's the devotional process. You know nothing's to be gained here, but I want something, so that's the spiritual world. And that's going to be service to Krishna. That's what's going to make it work. So if we make that endeavor, then the one here doesn't look important. Right? So what we do here is just take whatever we have, use it in the Lord's service. Then we get that. Otherwise, if we are acting like the standard karmi, then it's already set. The modes of nature are there. They take you through the paces. And you will try to enjoy, which you'll never be able to do. You know, that's all. It's just, we can't think of someone who's always enjoying. Right? We can think of an incident here and there. There'll be, and those incidents will be moments. Not that it was like hours and hours of just on and on. God, there's moments. So the point is remember, a moment's 1/11th of a second. People base their whole concept of enjoyment of a few moments. So it's not even a second worth of experience. And we're basing a lifetime of endeavor on that. It's not exactly, you wouldn't call it an intelligent investment, right? No one who knows the field would suggest. It wouldn't make, means think about it. How many seconds in a day, right? And then take that times 360 and that times 100, right? So that's a lot of seconds, right? And we're talking about not even a second's worth of total experiences in a lifetime of moments that are the real moments. So how is that a good investment? You're talking about millions and millions compared to less than one unit. That's not a good investment, right? You want at least want 20%, right? You know? So it's bad. So this is the trick. This is what we're up against. This is the reality. So if we understand that, then the living entity, by its nature, is very busy and active, but in looking for opportunities to serve Krishna, as opposed to being distracted by material energy. Like that. And then here on the other side is the next other aspect in the purport Prabhupada mentions about the Jyotish Shastra, that the planets, they are giving the results of your previous activities, but they're also the ones that are watching your present activities. Right? Because if you're going to give results, you watch what you're doing now. So that's the Jyotish Shastra. We're thinking just what benefit I'm getting. We forget about what goes the other way. So not only are the planets giving you benefits, but they're also watching what you're doing. That's the whole thing. So there's no such thing as, I'm on my own, I do what I like, right? I'm in my house, I'm the lord of my own castle, you know, like this kind of thing. Yeah, but the sun, moon, and stars are still watching. Right? And if you think, well, I'm inside, the curtains are closed, the light's off, they can't see. But then they have other assistants, air, earth, You know, they're also watching. Paramatma's there. You're not going to get away from him. You know, so it's kind of like stuck in this. So the point is there's nothing you can get away with. It's not that, well, I'll do something on the side. Why would this be brought up? Because one of the means that your philosophy of pranamaya, of extended sense gratification, is you make an external show, social show, of being a good person so that everyone can cooperate for sense gratification. But in privacy, if you can get away with doing nonsense and no one finds out, no one's going to complain. It's understood that will go on. But the point is, no one should know about it. That's the thing. Everyone's so aghast when they find out, oh, they did this, they did that, how is that possible? I thought that they were like this and they were like that. And each and every person is doing nonsense. Right? The only difference is, he was foolish enough to get caught. That's all. So that's the rules. So therefore, it's mentioned. Right? One thinks, I'm going to get away, no one sees. But no, they still see. The people still see. The authorities still see. So, therefore, it's not, there's no way around it. There's no worth to try to get involved in it. So that's the recommendation here. Jarabhat's making it. I tried it. I got distracted. It didn't do so good for me. I mean, of course, deers are nice. You know, it's better than being, let's say, a sloth or something. But still, it's not good. So he's recommending, don't bother. Don't get involved. Any questions or comments? Yes. Why does it always use from the male point of view? That he's attracted to the woman. You don't hear much examples of that. It means who's in charge of the material world? No, who's in charge? No. You're not catching. I'm asking you. This is why I'm not paraphrasing your point. Who runs the material world? Who's the hands-on manager? The woman. Okay, so then? If something goes wrong in the house, whose fault is it? Right. You're starting to catch the drift here? Who's running this place? Okay. See, if you want to do something and get away with it, you have to have a fall guy, right? It's not a fall girl, it's a fall guy. Okay, you understand? That's the fun part. The men think they're the smart ones, but... Is it fair? What does fair got to do with it? The word is never used, fair. Women don't say they want fairness. Incessant education. No, wait. You don't just keep changing here. Stick to a central point. Right. The reason that the masculine view is always given is because every living entity in the material world thinks they are the male, the controller and enjoyer. Just you have various ways that you express it. Some do it through the masculine, personality. Some do it through the feminine personality. But all of them are trying to enjoy. That's why the Shakti in the material world is called Purusha Shakti. It's a Shakti of trying to control and enjoy. Therefore, by using the generic masculine, that's what it does. So when people come up with it, oh, it's masculine and this, what about the feminine? Then every time you got to say he, she, or it, you know? And nowadays, it's, you know, that would have been good. That's before. There's about 26 different categories. What about the guy who dresses up as a girl? What about the guy who actually is taking hormones and he's half girl? You know, what about the guy who's gone through the operations, now he's a girl, but he still thinks like a guy? That doesn't change. They don't have an operation for that. You know, it's like that. You know, so in other words, you have the two gay people, right? And one is the man who was a woman, now he's fully converted the woman who was a man, who's fully converted into a woman. And she has a partner who's fully a woman. Right? Now in this, the fun part is that the woman is in the masculine role as the lead of the two. But at the same time, if you like say a nice car goes down, then the girl who's a girl should look at it and think about, ooh, that's shiny and this is nice, and the other guy, wow, V8, you know, like that, even though they're the girl. It's just the way it works, okay? So now how are we going to do that? He, she, it, you know, or just we're going to say he, she, you know, LBGT, you know, I mean, how are we going to do this? Right? So the acharyas make it simple. All living entities think, I am the man, so therefore, then they use the masculine. You understand? The point is but who makes the attraction for the woman? The man makes the attraction. Does the man go in there and spend an hour doing the makeup? Or the woman doesn't? And who gets attracted? The man. Okay, so that's how it works. You can't get attracted to something that's not offering attraction, generally. You understand? Okay, yes.
You mentioned that happiness comes from endeavor.
Happiness comes from endeavor, yes.
So here you can draw the borderline, what is endeavor and what is over-endeavor. And is there any over-endeavor in the spiritual platform also?
So it means, in other words, you like the process of over-endeavoring and you want to find if there's a loophole so you can continue to over-endeavor, but over-endeavor for Krishna. No. Is that what we're looking at here? What's the point of the question?
Yeah, what is the broader line between the endeavor and at what extent is it become over-endeavor?
Okay, but if there's over-endeavor in the spiritual world, is there also under-endeavor in the spiritual world, or is there balanced endeavor in the spiritual world? Why only the over-endeavor is focused on? That's the question. Okay. What to do? So, the point is over-endeavor, first is what is endeavor? Endeavor means doing what you're supposed to be doing. Alright? So if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then where's the over-endeavor? Over-endeavor comes when you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? That's what Shastra recommends. It means according to one's nature, then one performs one's duties. That's why the duties are given, because it's always our position is always changing. So it's just like this. Let us say we have a play, okay? And there are 12 parts in the play, okay? And everybody, and this is an interesting theater here, because in these 12 parts, all 12 actors know all 12 parts. Okay? And so for 1 week, they have their places. Now the next week, they each rotate one. Right? And then play the next role. Right? And everybody does that. And it keeps going like that. So it works nicely. But now if one person gets attached to the previous role, then it's a problem. Right? And then you have two people trying to play the same part. Right? That's what goes on. Is that people get attached to previous roles that they've played, but we're not. We're in a different body now, different situation. The role changes. Because it's not to do with the soul. It's the conditioning. It's the role you have to play. So you play that role. Because the point is it's not about the role. If we think the role is what's important, it's not about the role. It's about the principle that we're engaging our situation in Krishna's service. If the role is important, then that means that what we're doing on the material platform is what's important, not Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then the Shastra gives what everybody does. Because otherwise, every life it changes, so you're not necessarily sure what am I supposed to do now. So that's why the Shastra says you do this now. This is what body you got, so this is what you do. Right? You know, you're rich, you have these duties. You're poor, you have these duties. You know, you're tall, you have these duties. Short, you know, you're very strong, you're not strong. You're intelligent, not intelligent. You're a manager, you're not a manager. So all these different things it shows you, then this is what you do. Does that make sense? You stick to those in the time frame that it says. It's not, how will it be an over-endeavor? There's only 24 hours in a day. Over-endeavor means you go out, the proportion is wrong. You're doing what you're not supposed to do, or you're doing what you're supposed to do, but more than what it should be done. Okay? Yeah. Something else? Yeah. Yes?
Maharaj, If we want to understand when of the body and the mind, is that just a conscious endeavor that, no, I'm not going to identify. It's like, you take that step. I don't want to identify, I'm not going to do it. Or to understand it and realize it, you have to depend on the mercy.
You need to do both. It means, in other words, to appreciate that we're not the material identity, then you have to adjust that with the spiritual identity, because the mind has to function. And one of the functions of the mind is identity. Right? If someone loses their identity, they don't know what to do. So identity is part of the mental process. So you're switching the identity. That's why one of the earliest things we define in devotional services, we're not the soul, we're the body. We're not the soul. We're not the body, we're the soul, okay? Yeah. And we don't stop there. That's where the Maya bodies stop. You know, that we're servant of Krishna. Right? That's what we try to... So that's one of the earliest things that we learn. Then, with that, then if we are committed to that, then it's a matter of, okay, but I have a conditioning. So what is that conditioning? Because then if I know what the conditioning is, I know what the duties are, and then I know what endeavors I should be making. Right? Because if I don't know, then how do I know what to work with? You know, it's just like if I go into a kitchen, I don't know what a grater is. How will I use it? Or a can opener. You know, or a refrigerator. Right? I have to know what each thing is, and that's what it is. And it does that perfectly. And it's necessary. You have to have all those items. So, to follow the duties of the body doesn't mean you have to be the body. So this idea that if I'm not the body, I don't have to do the duties of the body, how is that logical? How is that intelligent? Intelligent is, this is what I have, this is what I use. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we do. So we separate, but we have to know how it functions. Because the point is, why are we in the material world? We're in the material world because we're conditioned. What's the nature of our conditioning at present? I mean, Jarabharat gave this the generic conditioning is that we work under the modes of nature, and we think that these modes are going to get us something, right? That we're actually going to be able to enjoy in the material world. When we give that up, then it's just a matter of then we can give up the specifics that, okay, I will enjoy in this particular way. So now it's a matter of what is that particular way that I want to enjoy now? That's based on your conditioning. So if we know what the conditioning is, we know what the problems are. So you know what to do. Otherwise, if you don't know the conditioning, there's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just like, let's say you have some project you want to do, you put together some money and all that, so you know you want to be careful to see that it goes for that, but you know that you have a problem, let's say one's a shopaholic, okay? So what does that mean? It means when you have a project to do and you want to save that money, you don't walk down Rodeo Drive. You just don't do it. Right? It's because you know the nature, so then you get around it. You know? Does that make sense? So that's how it works, is you know what the nature is and you know how it can be engaged, what it can do properly, what it can't. Right? Otherwise you always have the classic, you know, the little guy who, you know, everybody calls him little, so he wants to do all the stuff the big guys do. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so you always have these kind of things. You know, there's always the classics of someone who's in one position and doesn't agree and wants to do the other. Of course, now and again, there's that little success story. You know, but that success story happened not because he himself was physically strong, but other stronger people then took his, you know, gave support and it got done. Right. So then we find out, okay, he's got brains. He doesn't have physical strength. Does that make sense? So the whole point is you have to know what you have to work with. Otherwise, if you don't, that's foolish. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Yeah. Is that okay? Like that. So it's... something else. Yes, you have this funny little contraption here.
Sharon, you said that this world is designed to lose.
Yes.
So, that means if I see someone making a difference in other people, like differences between rich and poor and exploitation, that means I have to be in my way towards the spiritual guidance, and I don't have to worry about that differences or that exploitation.
That means, what's your position? Means, in other words, administration worries about that.
But you know that there are certain point time there.
No, wait. Listen to what we're discussing. See, this is not about just moving the mouth and things coming out. There's this thing behind that called the intelligence that we're supposed to analyze and take things step by step. So you said, if somebody's taking advantage of a material situation, exploiting, am I supposed to do something about that or not? What's your position? Are you in a position of administration? Administration is supposed to protect the citizens, make sure it doesn't happen. If you're in the administration, then you're supposed to do something about it as an occupation, right? If you're not, then you can always mention it to somebody who could do something about it. But the point is, that's different. That's coming from your occupation. That's not coming from, but if I work this out, then the world will be a better place, and then everyone will be happy, and the butterflies will be flitting, and you know, all this kind of stuff will be happening. That just doesn't happen. It happens in cartoons. You know what I'm saying? And that's even the old cartoons. The new cartoons, it doesn't happen either. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is it part of your duty? Do you have influence? You see someone else, you see some very rich and powerful man exploiting. Do you have some position to do something about it? Do you have authority there? And even if it did, why? Why would you want, he's exploiting, why is that bad? The other person's being exploited, why is it bad? You just pointed out, no, but if I see this, shouldn't I do something? So why? Why should you do something? What's the reason?
I'm compassionate.
You're compassionate. You are compassionate. Okay, well, that's good. And who's this you?
The soul.
The soul. Okay. So now, how are you, the soul, going to be compassionate to the other soul? You understand? This is a process called Buddhi Yoga. You think. If you can, within the devotional process, just feel, that's an advanced position. But if you're not working on that transcendental position and just feeling, then it's still mundane. You understand? You have to switch from mundane feelings to spiritual feelings. We can say we're devotees, but we're sadhakas. So sadhaka means I haven't attained prema yet. Why not? Because I still have mundane view. So I'm compassionate, but how are you going to show compassionate from one, as a soul to another soul? What is compassion? Okay, you feel bad for the person's position, but why? Why is that position bad? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with exploitation? The guy makes tons of money. It's good for the economy. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens when he exploits? He gets money. He's going to buy the Lamborghini. Are you going to buy the Lamborghini? And if you don't buy the Lamborghini, then how is Italy going to stay afloat? Then that means there's going to be people in Italy who are not getting their spaghetti. You understand? So this guy is helping out, you know, the local villagers in Italy, because they grow the wheat, you know, that's made into the pasta.
There is a lot of difference between Italy and India.
No, don't get into this thing. Now we're going to go nationalistic on us? Okay, hey, okay.
You are giving an example. I'm just giving another example.
No, but you haven't addressed my question about you, the soul, for another soul. All you're doing is you see that your argument's not going to generate any emotional, you know, interaction, so you're moving to another one that you think will.
Okay.
You still haven't told me how you as the soul are going to be compassionate to the other soul. Because what you're talking about is the body. That's what you're talking about. And you're saying, me as my body, I'm going to help him as his body.
Ultimately, Krishna consciousness.
Krishna consciousness. Okay. So then, what is the Krishna conscious principle?
Preaching.
Preaching, okay. But in connection with this guy who has power and authority, and he is exploiting. What does Krishna say about this? Not exactly. We're talking about that's okay, but see, that's okay. What you've concluded you're supposed to do, but you don't know what's the position of the other two people that you're looking at. You know what I'm saying? If I don't know what I'm looking at, how do I do anything about it? I knew one devotee. He had a brother-in-law who was like this top, cook, and he was so good that when other professional cooks would have a problem. Let's say they're doing this huge wedding, thousands of people, and they mess up a preparation, and there's no time. They call him in. And he comes in, looks at it, and says, okay, I can fix it. But he says, he has one condition. Everybody has to leave the kitchen. No one can see what he's done. Then he goes in there, and he does something, and he comes out, and he gives it some fancy name. You know what I'm saying? So that means he knows what he's dealing with. He can fix it. But just to sit there and get all emotional, yes, this, and sit around with your buddies, and yes, this, and all that. Are you going to go out there and get yourself shot by the British? Are you out to that platform? If you're not, then what's the use of all this? You know what I'm saying? Those few guys, they got themselves shot. They got themselves hung. So if you're not going to do that, then why use this as a platform to generate a little bile activity so lunch digests? You know what I'm saying? The point is the person's exploiting, but he's not supposed to. He has a duty to perform. He can make profit. He's going to make a lot more profit than you're going to make. This idea that everybody's going to make the same amount of profit is foolish because everybody's not the same. Then we're going to say the elephant should eat the same amount as the dog. No, they all eat different. So he's a big businessman. He makes a lot of money, but he shouldn't make it at the expense of his workers. Because being in the dvija position, he's supposed to protect them. But it's not about protection. He's doing business about making money. But he shouldn't make money at the expense of someone else. That's the God-given law. So now if you're in administration, you see that that happens. If you're not in administration, you can tell someone. And if it still doesn't happen, don't worry about it. You know? Because otherwise, unless you understand administration and how the world works, then what's the meaning of you getting all fired up about it? You know what I'm saying? An anarchist has to be intelligent. A revolutionary has to be intelligent. As I give example, Robespierre as a revolutionary was stupid. He lost his head. He started something that cut off his own head. That's stupid. You know what I'm saying? George Washington, he was involved in something. He came out on top. He was the president. That's smarter. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it's not that we're sentimental. Oh, it's just Krishna consciousness, just like that. The point is you as soul to soul, unless you preach, unless you give them Krishna consciousness, that's the only solution. Because it doesn't matter this life, next life. Why is the guy being exploited? Because he was the businessman last life. So it's just karma. It's not good, but that's the way it is. You want to benefit, you have to give them both Krishna consciousness. Then they'll stop. If you don't give them Krishna consciousness, they just waste their time. But you have to know the science. Otherwise, you want to get into the social science. Oh, this is bad and exploitation. But why is exploitation bad? You know, you went out, there was a pile of dirt there, and it was happily sitting there, and then you took your, shovel and broke it open, and then inside there were potatoes, and you took them all home, and you made them into, you made them into aloo dum or something. So is that not exploitation?
You're breathing the air. You know, other people can use this air. You're breathing it. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is the material world means one living entity is living at the expense of another. But there's lawful expense of another, and there's unlawful. But this idea that the material world is going to become perfect because we're going to get rid of all exploitation, create equity, fraternity, liberty, then it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? You have to know what you're dealing with. You want to worry about social issues, know what the Shastras say about the social position. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, then you're thinking about the wrong thing. You know, check out, you know, Stardust, maybe that will work for you or something. That makes sense? Okay. Anything else? Yes.
You were talking about
this mic thing goes that way.
You were talking about the fact that we do have to give up our material identity. And
But that doesn't mean we don't use it.
Correct. But we have to come to a certain level of realization.
Yeah, that's just we're the soul, not the body. That doesn't mean the body changes.
Yeah, correct. I'm finding it very hard to give up my identity. And I'm thinking perhaps it's also my snare to get a little bit disillusioned. I'm thinking, you know, we go around saying, oh, we can make it back to Godhead in this lifetime.
That's what Jarabar just said.
Yeah.
Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness and, sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home, back to Godhead, even in this life. So it's not just Prabhupada says that. This goes back a few million years, so it's been around.
So then I'm the problem.
No, we're not the problem. Our identification with the material energy is the problem. It's like this. The living entity is just like gold. Is gold unshiny? It's always shiny. Now, if I take gold and drop it into mud, is the gold itself still shiny? Yes. But the effect, do you see the shininess? So that's what we're dealing with. All it is one has to accept that who I actually am, and all this stuff pulls away. If I think I am that mud, I'm not about to wash it off. You understand? But the point is, we understand we're the soul already is liberated. There's no such thing as, see this, we make this distinction of conditioned and liberated souls. We only do that for our benefit. There is no such thing. There's only transcendental souls. There aren't souls that are transcendental, souls that are not transcendental. They're all transcendental. But whether they understand that or not, we call them conditioned or liberated. Does that make sense? So the point is the living entity, that's the natural position for it. It's not unnatural. But it's not about me understanding that I'm not the body. It's more about I'm a servant of Krishna. So in other words, if you get frustrated by focusing on the one, spend a little time on the other. You understand? So in other words, just always remember Krishna, never forget. Oh, I'm always forgetting Krishna. I always forget him. No, let's talk about remembering. So that then you get a balance. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, something else? Or?
What is real?
I mean, what is the context that you want to know what's real? Sorry? From the Mayavadi point of view.
Mayavadi point of view, what is real?
Why would you care what my bodies think is real? You are a Maya body yourself, so then you should know. I mean, is this a rhetorical question or something? Or... See, for a Maya body, Brahman is real. But the difficulty with them saying that that's all there is to reality are as one is you can't, how do you confirm that, Brahman is all there is? Because you can't use the senses because the Brahman has nothing to perceive. And you can't use your intelligence because to use intelligence you have to use logic. Logic means you have to have three factors, the upper, the lower, and the middle factor. Right? So you have to be able to connect two of them together. Right? In other words, the middle factor connects to the lower and the middle factor connects to the higher. Then I can make a connection between the higher and the lower. You understand? That's how logic works. So the difference is, problem is Brahman is undifferentiated. There is no two factors. So you can't use your intelligence to understand Brahman. You understand? So, in other words, it's only... So, therefore, what they talk about as reality is unreal. Everything for a Maya body is actually unreal. Even what they call real is actually unreal, because their perception of it is not a real perception of it. For the Vaishnavas, everything is real because it's all connected to Krishna. The illusion is we think it's not connected to Krishna. That's illusion. But otherwise, everything that is there exists. So that means that being Krishna, Krishna is the really real thing. Okay? Does that work? Wasn't what you were looking for. Wasn't Mayavadi enough.
Mayavadi is... Devotee of Maya, something like that.
Maya. Yeah, Mayavadi means they believe that whatever you see is Maya, it's illusion, therefore Mayavadi.
Yeah, yeah. So, where does a Mayavadi find Krishna?
He doesn't find Krishna.
Suppose I'm Mayavadi, please.
No, but Mayavadi can find Krishna by the association of Vaishnavas. How did Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur find Krishna? How did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya find Krishna? By associating with the devotees. Then in that association, then you learn what's real. Then you actually find out what's real. Otherwise, then you don't find out what's real. Mayavadis aren't known for finding out what's real. In fact, yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? Seem to be merging into this column. Oh, guess that's the whole point. Okay. Sorry?
In one sense, everything is illusion.
No, it's illusion because you think it's not connected to Krishna. That's the illusion.
Yes.
That column you're hiding behind is Krishna.
No.
Yeah, means that's the point. We don't know, but the acharyas do. Where are the acharyas? We're reading about them right here. Here's Jarabharat. He's one of our acharyas. Commentaries are here by Srila Prabhupada, one of our acharyas. He's using Baladeva, Vishwanath, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's commentaries to put his commentary together. These are the acharyas. Okay? So we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. It works. We don't. We get distracted.
You need also a guru, right? You need an actual spiritual master.
What do you mean by actual spiritual master? You have
something who is alive.
A virtual spiritual master?
You're supposed to have a guru.
Well, that would be good, right? You could start a whole web page. Virtual spiritual master. You could put together the spiritual master you want, you know, like that.
I mean,
you know, get personal, you know, what his diet is, what he wears, you know. But yeah, it could be fun, right?
I
a living spiritual master.
But
these guys are all still alive. It's not they're dead. Right? It's not that Jarbard's, he's one of our dead spiritual masters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, if we present it like that, we might pull in a lot more of the Goths and stuff. But, you know, our previous dead spiritual master said, Like, living spiritual master means that's what the association of Vaishnavas is. That's the meaning. So of association of Vaishnavas, the leader in that for us is our spiritual master. No, you have to have someone give you siksha. See, someone gives you diksha because they feel you're worthy of giving siksha to. See, the problem is this diksha pranali kind of perception is a real destructive position for the neophyte devotee. Like that. Madhyamas don't have this problem. Neophytes have this problem. They think diksha is one thing, siksha is another. Diksha means that siksha guru who has seen you're serious enough that you're going to follow the siksha when it's given. Then you're given diksha. So diksha is the ceremony by which it is you are awarded with the position that you are serious about following siksha. That's the meaning of diksha. So there's still no problem here. You have to follow siksha. And so those who are present, they can see what you're doing and tell whether you are doing okay or not. That's the importance. Because we can read the books, nice, but it's not necessarily that the books is going to say, hey, you're not doing this right. Right? But those who are around will. So even if the Diksha Guru isn't present, he's already passed on, still you take shelter of the Vaishnavas and they will tell you. So it's a dynamic position, it's always working. Does that make sense? Okay, no. Time's up. We have to end now. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.